as Riley. Years now, Chester A. Riley has lived in a small suburb of Los Angeles. And Riley, being the man he is, has left his mark upon the neighborhood. So tonight, as he returns home from a hard day's work, his passage down the street does not go unnoticed. Take, for instance, the Werner's Cocker Spaniel. Ah, just look at that cute little pup there, panting happily, his tail wagging gaily. And then he sees Riley. But Riley walks blithely on. And as he crosses the street, the policeman on the corner shouts a greeting.
Hey, you blind or something? I'll give you a ticket for jaywalking.
But Riley walks on unperturbed. Halfway down the block, he passes Joe's fruit stand.
Hey, you! Put back that grape!
But Riley ignores these rebuffs from a cruel material world. For now, he's almost home, where he can always count on his loving wife and children to shower him with the tenderness, admiration, and respect that is his due as master of the house.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hello, Daddy.
Hiya, Pop.
Well, I'm home at last.
Goodbye, Daddy.
Bye, Pop.
Hey, wait a... Come back in here, you two.
Well, what's wrong?
We're in a hurry.
Never mind. Come in here. Is that a way to greet me when I come home after a hard day's work? Hello, goodbye? You're the rudest kids I ever saw.
But, Daddy...
Don't try to deny it. You don't know the first thing about common courtesy.
Yeah, but, Pa...
Don't try to deny it. After all, I'm your father.
But, Daddy...
Don't try to deny it.
Sorry, Daddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Pop.
Fine pair of kids you turned out to be. Hello, goodbye. Why, when you were babies and all you could say was burp, we had longer conversations than we do now.
Well, gee, we said we're sorry, Pop.
I get more attention from that Cocker Spaniel down the street. At least he tries to bite me. But you just ignore me. Me, the guy who's always thinking of you. Look, here's a grape I brought home for you.
We were in a hurry, Daddy.
Where are you going? It's supper time.
We ate early.
We're going to the movies. We're going to see Gentleman's Agreement.
Fine kids I got. You'd rather pay good dough to sit in a theater and watch a gentleman than stay home and look at me. And it don't cost nothing.
We'll be back early, Daddy, dear. We've got to go now, Junior.
Oh, yeah, it's late.
You're staying home tonight.
Oh, but Pop,
I... Hello, Riley. Well, what's the trouble, dear?
Now, this don't concern you, Peg. Hello, Peg. Now, take your coats off.
But, Daddy, I made a date to meet Joni at the theater.
And I'm meeting Egghead Gillis.
I don't care how many dates you made.
Riley.
Please, Peg, my head's made up. You kids can't go to the movies unless you first get permission from the head of this house.
We did.
Now, you see, Peg, how they make up stuff. I never said they could go.
Dear, I said they could.
Well, have a good time at the movies, kids.
Hello there, Ryan.
Oh, you Gillis.
What are you so grouchy about?
Oh, those kids of mine, I caught them sneaking off to the movies without permission. Boy, I told them off good. Do you know what I said?
How should I know? I ain't the kind of a snoopy guy goes around eavesdropping on his next-door neighbor.
Yeah, well, I told them plenty.
And you were right. Why should they pay dough to watch a gentleman when they could stay home and look at you?
Gillis, you heard.
Well, we got free speech in this country, so I help myself. Hey, what are you writing there?
Suggestions, you know, for that contest here at the plant.
Well, you don't think you're going to cut one of them prizes?
Why not? Believe me, I got some great ideas.
Oh, your wife's been helping you.
Just what do you mean by that, Gillis?
Well, you got a brain like this, Riley. Well, let me put it another way. An empty bucket can't hold water unless somebody fills it.
Oh, yeah, well, my brain holds plenty of water. I do my own thinking. I'm the boss in my house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some boss. Like when the kids wanted to go to the movies.
Well, I just didn't want to make no trouble.
No wonder your kids don't respect you. Hello, goodbye.
You think so, Gillis? You think that's it?
What else? They want something, they go to Peg. She makes the decisions. Pretty soon, they start ignoring you. Next thing you know, you're a stranger in the house. And one fine morning, you kiss Peg goodbye, your junior thinks to your babs and says, who's the big jerk kissing Mama?
You're right, Gillis. Peg's been running things long enough. From now on, I'm making all the decisions.
Now you're talking?
Peg ain't gonna push me around.
You. What are you, a man or a mouse?
All these years, I've been a mouse. From now on, I'm a rat.
Daddy?
Don't bother me now, Dad. Can't you see I'm busy? I've got work to do.
Okay, I'll ask Mother. Mother, could you let me have 50 cents?
Oh, certainly, dear. Hand me my purse over
here. Just a minute. Babs, anytime you want money, you ask me for it, not your mother.
But, Riley, I can give it to her.
I make the money, and I'll dish it out.
Daddy, will you dish it out like an angel?
I can put my hand in my pants pocket just as easy as your mother can. After all, I'm a... that's funny. It must be the other pocket. maybe here in my wallet, Peg, let me 50 cents.
Hand me my purse over there, Dad.
Here you are.
Hand these two quarters to your father.
Here, Daddy.
Thanks. Now, what was it you said you wanted?
50 cents.
Sorry, I can only let you have a quarter.
Oh, Daddy.
Would you deny your own father car fare tomorrow?
Well, I can manage with a quarter. Thanks, Daddy.
And like I said before, Babs, any time you want money, you get it from me, not your mother.
Oh, Riley, what's gotten into you? You're not yourself tonight.
You bet I'm not, and it's about time there was a change. Things are going to be different from now on. Those kids are going to know I'm alive.
Oh, I don't understand you at all. Why are you acting like this?
I'll tell you why. So that if they ever catch someone kissing you, they'll know that I'm the big jerk that's doing it.
Dear, did you get your head caught in the bus door again?
No, I walked home. Please, Peg, I'm busy. I got work to do.
Well, what are you so busy about, Daddy?
Never mind, Babs. Your father's got plenty to be busy about. He don't have to wait for your mother to tell me what to do. He does my own thinking.
All right, dear. I'm not arguing. Go ahead. Think.
You know, I'm no dope. I just give that impression. And you'll see. I'll cop one of those prizes in the contest.
What contest?
Well, down at the plant to increase the efficiency. They want suggestions from the workers. I'm writing up my entry. It's a great idea. You see, every day...
Hey, Mom, where's my blue sweater?
Junior, don't interrupt, Junior.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, you may as well listen to this, too.
I'm going out and play.
Never mind playing. Stay here and learn something. Now, here's my suggestion. You see, there's an awful lot of time wasted every day by 2,000 guys who have to stand in line to punch the time clock. So my suggestion is, let the first man who gets there punch all the cars. Well, great, huh?
But, dear, if one man punches all the cards, how'll they know when the other men come and go?
Mom's right.
What are you standing there for? Go out and play.
And then what happened?
Well, it was just like you said, Gillis. Peg tried to do my thinking for me, tried to force ideas into my head, but she was up against a stone wall.
Well, then what happened?
Well, I decided I wouldn't enter the contest, just to spite her. Then we had a little argument. But after all, it's my own business.
Oh, no way. This is bigger than any individual. It's us men against the opposition sex. And believe me, you're worse off than I thought. This situation has got to be put a stop to. You got to tell Peg off once and for all.
Well, you really think so?
Positively. I won't get no rest until you do.
Well, I don't like to make a scene.
You don't have to. Handle like I do with my wife, Honeybee.
Well, what do you do?
I write her a letter.
A letter?
Sure. Like last week, she kept nagging me for more dough. All day long, talk, talk, talk. But I didn't make no scene. I sat down and wrote her like this. Mrs. Honeybee Gillis, dear madam, drop dead.
Oh, well, that's a little rough, Gillis.
I know, but I signed it your loving husband.
Oh, well, as long as you were polite about it.
And it worked, believe me. She didn't talk to me for a week. Now, you take a tip from me. Sit right down or I might take a sarcastic letter.
Well, where's the pen? Here. Dear Peg, that's too friendly. You're right. I'll make it very businesslike.
Dear sir. Dear Mrs. Riley.
No, wait a minute. Let's think of something clever. She's a very bossy type.
Yeah.
Bossy. Riley, I got it. Dear boss.
Hey, that is clever.
Dear boss, I just want to say...
what do I want to say, Phyllis?
Say like this.
Mm-hmm.
Dear boss, for years I've been working just for you. You have always told me what to do and what to think.
And naturally, I love that.
You got that?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. And then I'll say...
Now something real sarcastic.
Yeah.
After all, I'm just a nobody. I have no brain. But you're so smart. A regular genius.
Oh, that's great. Now, finish up like this.
Yeah.
Therefore, I think it's very kind of you to let me hang around all these years. And let me have so much money every week, too.
Yeah. it's really too much. Why don't you just give me half?
That's the idea, Riley. Make me feel genius.
Oh, this is a marvelous idea, Gillis. Boy, am I glad I learned to write. Comes in handy.
And now close with your devoted slave.
Oh, that's brilliant. Your devoted slave, Chester A. Riley. Then I'll just put it in this envelope, and I'll mark it for Peg personal.
Oh, no. Make it to the boss personal.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
To the boss personal. I'll leave it right here on the table so she'll see it first thing tomorrow morning.
Well, Riley, you've done it.
Yep.
I gotta hand it to you.
Yes, sir. And you know, Gillis, I got a feeling this letter is gonna make a big change in my life.
And now back to the life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Stop worrying, Riley, and watch your machine. It's already 8:30 a.m. and you ain't done no work yet.
Well, I can't work, Gillis. I should never have written Peg that letter. It's going to upset her.
Forget it, will you? Did I ever steer you wrong? Believe me, when I made you write that letter, it was the best advice they could have given you.
Yeah, well, maybe it works with your wife, but my Peg ain't like other wives.
All wives is the same. It's like in chemistry. Maybe iodine's got a few more molecules than arsenic. And arsenic's got a few more molecules than cyanide, but they're all poison.
Well, Peg's different. She's very sensitive. I remember on our honeymoon when I missed the train. She
was younger in them days, and she was still in love with you then.
What do you mean then? We're in love now.
Yeah, but there's love and love. You've been married 17, 18 years. You're a little older. You're getting gray hairs.
So what? Just because there's snow on the roof don't mean the fire's going out in the house.
All right, so you're still in love.
And that's why that letter was a big mistake.
Riley, I don't make no mistakes. And when I made you write that letter, I've done you the biggest favor of your life.
Yeah, but there's no telling what Peg will do when she reads that letter. Why, she might even leave me.
No, she wouldn't do that.
Well, you don't know Peg.
You really think she'd leave you?
Yeah, and take the kids with her.
Riley, when you insisted on sending that letter, you made the biggest mistake of your life.
You got your nerve. Now he tells me I made a mistake.
Ask me the oil can.
Never mind the oil can. Tell me what to do.
Don't ask me. I ain't the kind of a guy advising people how to run their marriage.
Why? You! You got me into this in the first place. If it hadn't have been for
you... Throw me the oil can already.
I'll throw it for you, all right.
Hey, look out! Oh.
Now look what you've done. You hit the dynamo. I bet you short-circuited the whole plant.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing. It was an accident.
You're going to kick it for this.
I ain't scared. They can't scare me.
Hey, here comes the foreman.
Huh?
Hey, Riley, come back here!
Well, I better get going to school, Mom.
I still don't understand, Junior. But your father never goes off to work without waking me to say goodbye.
Well, he must have been in a big hurry.
Oh, I guess he's anxious to get his suggestions into that contest. You see, today's the last day, and... Well, what's this?
What, Mom?
Well, this letter here on the table. To the boss, personal. Well, if that isn't just like your father, he forgot to take his suggestion to that contest.
Oh, gee, he'll miss the deadline.
Junior, dear, on your way to school, go by the plant and see that this letter gets to Mr. Stevenson this morning.
Okay.
Oh, my, your father'd be upset if this didn't get to the boss. You never can tell about business. A thing like this could make a big change in your father's life.
Trouble. Nothing but trouble. Ever since I was born. Boy, how I wish I had my life to live over.
Personally, I'm against it.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
I was saying, personally, I'm against wishing. Wishing is a frivolous folly.
I guess you're right, Digger. Only sometimes I get a feeling the cards are stacked against me.
You're not the only one. I was in Las Vegas over the weekend.
Las Vegas? Where they gamble?
Yes. I dropped a bundle there.
How much money did you lose?
Oh, I made money. I dropped a bundle. But tell me, Riley, what are you doing getting about in mid-morning? Shouldn't you be at the plant?
That's a long story, Digger. You see, I didn't like the way Peg was always telling me what to do.
Right? And what's wrong with that? My dear wife, Brunhilde, is always telling me what to do. She even helps me in my business. She nails the orders, and I carry them out.
I know. I wasn't fair to Peg. And then I had this fight with Gillis, see, and I threw the oil can at him and short-circuited the dynamo.
Shocking.
I know. I lost my head. I picked up the first thing that was laying around.
Oh, you must practice self-control. Can you imagine what would happen down at my place if I picked up the first thing that was laying around? I could lose a lot of customers that way.
And then when I saw the foreman coming, I beat it.
You ran off?
Yeah.
Oh, that was the coward's way. Take my advice. Go back. Make a clean breast of it.
But I'll get fired. No, I'm going home. Maybe I can figure out some excuse.
Riley, I beseech you.
I ain't going, Digger. You can't make me go someplace I don't want to go.
Maybe not now, but someday I'll be in the driver's seat. Here you go. I'd better be shoveling off.
You'll have to face the foreman sooner or later. You should have stayed right there.
You want me to get fired? That'd be fine.
Oh, take it easy. You're not fired yet.
Well, I will be unless I can think of a good excuse. Help me, Peg.
So what can I do? You're the only one who can solve this.
Oh, you won't help me. A fine wife you turned out to be.
Well, I want to help you, dear, but I don't see how I can. It's strictly up to you.
Oh, now it's up to me. But before it was always you made the decisions. I know why you're taking this attitude, on account of what I wrote.
What are you talking about?
You know that...
I do not. I have... Oh, just a minute, the phone. Hello? Oh, hello. Yes, he's here. Oh, all right, I'll tell him. Yes, right away. Thanks for calling. That was your boss's secretary. Mr. Stevenson wants to see you right away.
Oh, don't take any fun out about the dynamo.
Well, you better get down there.
Come with me, Peg.
I can't do that. Who ever heard of a wife going with her husband to see his boss?
What's the matter? Are you yellow? Come with me. Here's the boss's office.
Well, go ahead. Knock, dear.
I hope he don't hear it.
Come in.
Well, go on in, Peg. I'll stay out here.
No, you go in. I'll wait.
No, no, you come in with me.
Come in, Riley. Come in. Oh, hello, Mrs. Riley. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Stevenson.
Riley, I want to
I know just what you're going to say, boss, but believe me, it was an accident. The dynamo...
Oh, don't worry about that. That's been repaired. Riley, I wanted to talk to you about this letter you sent me for the suggestion contest.
Letter? I sent a letter?
Yes, this one here.
Oh, that's the one you forgot this morning, Riley. It was addressed to your boss, so I had Junior deliver it.
You had... Junior, Peg, you mean you sent this?
Yes, Riley, and when I read this, well...
I know just what you're going to say, but don't get sore, Mr. Stevenson.
Sore?
Yeah, sore.
Riley, this is one of the finest tributes any employer ever received.
Is it?
Do you know what that husband of yours said, Mrs. Riley?
But no, I didn't read it.
Oh, you've got to hear this. Dear boss, for years I've been working just for you. You have always told me what to do and what to think. And naturally, I love that.
Naturally?
After all, I'm just a nobody. I have no brains, but you're so smart. A regular genius. Fine choice of words there, Riley. That's what I like about this note. It's so... sincere.
Oh, sure. Straight from the heart.
Listen to this next part. Therefore, I think it's very kind of you to let me hang around all these years and let me have so much money every week, too. It's really too much. Why not just give me half? Riley, that's the kind of teamwork we want at this plant.
Yeah, teamwork.
A 50% cut. That's the first practical suggestion I got in this whole contest, Riley. But frankly, it's a little too radical. I know you'd understand, but I don't think the other men would.
No, I don't think they would.
My boy, with this kind of spirit, you'll go far. And to show my appreciation for your loyalty, I'm not going to cut your salary in half. No, sir. I'm going to leave it exactly where it is.
Oh, thank you, boss.
Not at all. You're all right, Riley.
You're all right, too, boss.
I like you, my boy.
I like you, too. You're sweet, boss.
I've got some stopping to do. I need a new garbage pail.
Well, I mustn't keep you folks any longer.
Yeah, I'd better get back to the job.
Oh, wait a minute. It's 5:30. Why don't you take the rest of the day off?
Oh, thanks, boss. Well, come on, Peg, let's go.
Goodbye,
boss. Well, I got out of that one, eh?
You're proud of it?
Well, sure, that letter.
That wasn't a letter. That was a valentine. I never thought you'd turn out to be a bootlegger.
But, Peg...
Oh, I never heard such nauseating flattery in all my life.
But, Dumplin', that wasn't flattery. So you were fooled, too.
So what do you mean?
Well, that letter was meant to be nasty. You know, sarcastic.
Oh, nuts. You can't get out of this one, Riley. Why on earth should you send a nasty letter to your boss and risk your job? Only an idiot would do that.
But I didn't send it to my boss. I wrote that letter to you. Yeah. Yes, sir. Peg... I am an idiot. And that's one of the smartest decisions I ever made.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment.
believe it, Riley. How could you write a letter like that to your boss?
Well, the fact is, I might as well confess, Peg. That letter was meant for you.
For me?
Yeah.
But it said to the big boss.
Yeah, I did it on purpose. Kind of cute, huh?
Cute.
Yeah, now don't get sore, Peg.
Now, let's get one thing straight right now. You have as much to say around here as I have.
You're right, Jocelyn.
And I don't order you around or make you do anything you don't want to do.
That's right, Jocelyn.
And I don't want to hear any more of this silly talk about me being your boss. Not one word.
Okay. Okay, I promise. And don't worry. It won't happen again, boss.